All right, brethren, let's go back now to 2 Chronicles 25. Let me just read verse 14 and 15. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. King Amaziah went and defeated the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. And they had a lot of false gods, a lot of idol gods. And once he had defeated that army, then he took those gods and he brought them to Judah and set them up and started bowing down and worshiping those idol gods. Verse 15, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah and sent unto him a prophet, which asked him this question, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Now that's just absurd. To seek after gods that cannot deliver their own people out of the hand of their enemy. That's absurdity. Every sinner who must contribute a work to his salvation is seeking after gods that cannot deliver their own people out of the hand of their enemies. Now be sure to understand that every sinner that must contribute something to his salvation, his God requires he contribute something, either at the beginning, the middle, or the end, or all points in between. He's got to contribute something to his salvation. That sinner is seeking after gods that cannot deliver their own people out of the hand of the enemy. It's a false god. Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Now let's ask this question and let's try to answer this question just in case there's anybody hearing this that are seeking after such gods of men. Now, to answer this, I want to just take this question and break it into three parts. First of all, why hast thou sought after the gods, plural? Amaziah is like those who've heard the gospel of the true and living God, but yet go looking at other gods. Amaziah was in the one land where the one true and living God revealed himself to his people. That's where he was under the one true and living God in that one land where God was revealing himself. God at this point had even ceased revealing himself to Israel, to the 10.5 tribes, which were he was calling Ephraim. But he wouldn't do that in Judah because, remember, the line of the tribe of Judah, Christ is coming through the tribe of Judah. So he kept himself known in Judah. This is even less than had known him before know him now. Those in Judah only. But Amaziah was there. He was in a place where the true and living God was declared. Just like those that are sitting right here. But he was curious about those gods in those nations round about him. Curious about those gods. And so Amaziah was willing to worship gods that couldn't deliver their own people out of his hand rather than the God who made him conquer that people. Think about that. He was willing to worship gods of a people that could not deliver their people out of his hand rather than worship the God who delivered that people into his hand, which is the Lord Jehovah. Due to the depraved heart. This is the evidence of the depraved heart. Sinners are willing to consider any of this world's gods, no matter how absurd. They're willing to give an ear to it and consider it. But if the Word of God is quoted, the Word of God's declared, they're immediately ready to doubt it and quibble about it and question it. Why is that? Because man's heart's depraved, that's why. A man goes after what he shouldn't go after by nature until God makes him go after what he should. I remember when I was in college, I had a lot of young friends, and that's the point where you're out of the house, you're out from under your parents for the first time, and so now you know, everybody wanted to seek after all the different gods in the world. Look into their religions and talk about that like that was wise. You know, when God delivered Israel into Canaan, first thing God told them was, don't even inquire about their gods. Don't even inquire about their gods. Because they're all fake and phony. They're idols. Now let me ask you something. When they went looking at all these different religions, they were looking at all different kind of idol gods with all different ways of salvation. Now let me ask you this question. Would God create thousands of different religions and thousands of images of Himself and thousands of ways to worship Him, none of which really declare who He is? Would God do that? Do you do that? If you want somebody to know who you are, do you declare thousands of different images, show them different images of yourself that aren't really the image of you, and tell them all these different things about you that have nothing to do with you, and show them all these different ways they can know you that have nothing to do with who you are? Do you do that when you're declaring to somebody who you are? Why insult God and think God would do that? They're idol gods. They're idol gods. The one Lord Jehovah who saves one way through His Son Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit is the one and only God. He's the one and only God. Where'd all these other gods come from? There was two men that came from Adam. He had a bunch of other children, but these two represent all religion in the world. There was Cain and Abel. Abel came with blood, faith in Christ, representing salvation by the grace of God. Cain came with the works of the ground, the works of his own hands, representing salvation by man's works. God rejected Cain and saved Abel. Then you go along the line and you come to these two men named Isaac and Ishmael, born of the one man Abraham. God said, Isaac is the one in whom my seed shall be called. Picture Christ the Lord. Picture faith in Christ. Picture salvation by grace. He said, Ishmael is the son of a bondwoman. He's the son of your own hand, Abraham, because you didn't believe me and you went and had her by your bondwoman. That's the picture of works. He's got to go. And he's the father of Muslims. And their religion is a religion of works. Isaac is the father of the faithful, just like Abraham. Saved salvation by grace. And you go in the next two children. You have Jacob and Esau. God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Esau's got to go. And Esau is who God sent Amaziah to destroy the Edomites here in this passage. That's who he went to destroy. God was with Amaziah. God was with Judah. God was with his people. The choice of his own choosing. But he wasn't with Esau. God can have mercy on whom he will and pass by whom he will. That's salvation by grace. Jacob represented salvation by grace. Esau represents salvation by works. There's only two kinds in the world. There's the one true God who saves by grace. And then there is all the other gods in the world that men have made that have to have the sinner to help them. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there is no God. He said in Isaiah 45:6, I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And somebody will say, well, how do you know you're right? It's called divine revelation. It's the only way you can know. God has to reveal it to you. If He doesn't, you know what a man will do? He'll go after the gods. That's all he'll do. But Paul said, for those that have been called and God's revealed Himself, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. There is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. There are many religions. There's many idol gods, yet there's but one true God who is a just God and a Savior. Why seek ye after the gods? Now here's the next part of the question. Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people? Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people? Man's gods all come from man. You know, a depraved sinner knows there's a God. That's not an issue. He knows there's a God. But the problem is, Romans 1 says, when they knew God, they didn't bow down and worship Him as God, but they changed God into an image like unto man and four-footed beasts and these other things and fell down and worshiped the creature, worshiped that which was created rather than worshiping God the Creator. And that's all a man will do by nature. He can do this in the finest First Baptist church in the country and be worshiping an idol that's of his own making. A man doesn't have to carve him out. He's in his mind. He's in his heart. But it's the God of the people. Isaiah 40, verse 19. Let's look there. Isaiah 40, 19. You have some people who are a little more wealthy than others, and their gods look better. Verse 19, the workman melted the graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chain. Then you got some folks that are a little poor, a lot more poor than that. They can't afford gold. He that's so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. You see here, a man creates a god like himself, that is accommodating to himself. The rich man, he wants a God that looks good because he thinks he looks good. And he wants one covered in gold. The poor man can't afford the gold. But he knows it, that you don't have to have a God made out of gold. So he just makes one out of wood. But it's good wood. It won't rot. See, this is a principle. A man makes a God like himself. Now, again, they may not carve it out and actually make it into an idol. It doesn't have to be carved out to be an idol. An idol, covetousness is idolatry. To be thinking you can save yourself by your power and your means and your works, that's covetousness. That's being covetous of the glory of God, the glory that belongs to God who alone saves His people. So an idol is in our hearts by nature. I'm an idolater by nature. So are you. So is everybody here. And if you've not been born of God and given a new spirit, all you are is an idolater. We can't help that. We come forth knowing there's a God, but we're so depraved and so ruined by nature that all we can do is imagine God to be like us and to save like we would save. If someone came along in Judah, let's say they came along hundreds of years after this, and some young fella got out of the house from his mom and dad, he decided he wanted to explore the gods, and he didn't want to go to worship. They claimed to worship the God of Israel. He didn't want to do that anymore. He wanted to be wiser and explore and see if there were some other gods he might want to worship, unlike his father's God. So he finds Amaziah's gods, and he goes and worships Amaziah's gods. And he falls for it, and he thinks, these are the true gods right here. Where did those gods come from? Look back at verse 14. It came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods. They came from a man. They came from a man. And so here's a young man who's fallen for a god or multiple gods that are just the product of a man. And he wants to call God's people dummies for trusting God and believing God. God's the solitary, eternal God. He Scriptures don't even try to prove God. Scripture just starts out and says, in the beginning, God. God made man. Man didn't make God. God's the creator. We're the creature. God doesn't need us. We need God. This is only true concerning one true living God revealed in this book. That's the only one this is true of. Every other God needs you. Other gods can't spell church without you. This God can. He don't need you. He don't need me. Him saving His people is not adding anything to who He is. He's doing it because He will. Because He'll show His people who He is. As Scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being. Even the vain poet Paul's day said, we are also His offspring. You see that? He's not living in us. That's an idol God. An idol God lives in the man that created him. And he moves and lives and has his being by the man who created him. God, who is the creator, we live in him. And in him, we live and move and have our being. That's why at the appointed hour, when God says, that's it, it's over, men die. And you can't stop it from happening. Because God is God. And He's the only true God. He's the only God that's so, that's true of. So, listen to Him now. He says, I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. That's what God says. So, why seek after the gods, plural, which are all of the people? Now, lastly, and this is the absurd part. Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? This is the most absurd of all. Why seek a God that can't deliver their people out of the hand of their enemies? How can you tell a God's an idol of man's making? How can you do it? It's really very simple. How can you tell if the God men claim to worship, whether they say and they worship? You know Baal, the word Baal, that we translate as Baal. You know what the word is? Lord. Lord. Christ said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. So just because men appear to be worshiping the true Lord God, the true Jehovah, the true Christ of the Bible, there's a way you can tell if they're worshiping the true God of this Bible or they're worshiping a God of their imagination that they call Christ Jesus the Lord. How can you tell? If they cannot deliver their own people out of the hand of the enemy, then they're not the true God. They're not the true Lord Jesus Christ. Every God that requires even one work of a man's hand to save is an idol created by the work of a man's own hand, by a man's own vain imagination. Every God that requires just one work of the sinner to save is an idol created by man. Every God that man creates requires man to do something to help him. Every God that a man has, I don't care if he goes under the name Christianity or Muhammad or Allah or what, every God that a man creates requires the man to do something to help him save him. Why? Why? It's because man cannot create any other kind of God. He can't create a God. Man's natural heart is enmity against God, the true God. And the only God he can create is a God that will only allow him to do what the man allows him to do. Because the reason man by nature hates God is God gets all the glory and salvation. Man doesn't get any. And we come to this world by nature glory hounds. We want the glory for ourselves. And God won't give it. He won't share His glory with another. The only idol a man can create, the only God a man can imagine, is a God that can do nothing but what that man lets him do. Because that man wants some glory. You've heard this. I've heard this all my life. I grew up in the South. I grew up in the Bible Belt. And this is so common to hear down there. God has no hands but your hands and no feet but your feet. Won't you let God? He wants to save you, but you're going to have to let Him. You're going to have to cooperate with Him. Go with me over to Isaiah 46. Now, listen to this, Isaiah 46 and verse 7. Now, God has no hands but your hands. God has no feet but your feet. Tell me who this describes. Tell me what kind of God that describes. Listen here. Verse 7. God says they bear him upon the shoulder. Their God doesn't have any hands or feet. They bear him upon the shoulder. Christ bears his people on his shoulder. That's what Scripture said. He finds his lamb, puts it on his shoulder, and brings it home. Look here. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. God carries his people. He sets them in his holy habitation, and they stand in Christ where he put them. Look at this. From his place shall he not remove. This is the idol God. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he stands. And from his place he shall not remove. He can't do anything unless man lets him do something. He can't go from where God, where man puts him unless man lets him go somewhere else. Carries and puts him somewhere else. This is the God of man's imagination. God does as he will in heaven and earth, and he sets the bounds of men. And it's not the other way around. Look here about an idol. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. God hears his people, and in Christ he saves each one of them, and none shall be lost. Not one. Let's go to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. And look at verse 4. This is God speaking. Look at verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done with whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. You want a God that can't save you? If you're dying in the ocean and you're sinking and you're about to just, it's about to be the last time you bobble down under, do you want a Coast Guard that comes to you that can't save you? Do you want a Coast Guard to show up and say, we don't want to offend your will? Are you willing to be saved? Now, you're going to have to make the first step toward us before we're going to pull you out of there, you little drowning rat. You want that kind of Coast Guard to show up? Or you want one to show up and don't care what you think, have to knock you out if they have to pluck you out and save you? Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you're God. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you're nothing, and your work is nothing, and abomination is he that chooses you. God said. Understand this. Salvation apart from man's works is so despised by fallen man that his own depraved heart will not allow him to create a God that does all the saving. He can't do it. That's why it doesn't matter if you go half a mile up the road or if you go on the other side of the world. Every God that's not the true God is going to depend on you to do something to save every one of them. Man makes his God to be like himself. That's why every idol God man creates cannot deliver their own people out of the hand of their enemy unless the people help them. Man makes all his gods to be just like him. His God can do no more than he can do. God said this in Psalm 135:18. I'm not making this up. Listen to this. They that make them are like unto them. And so is everyone that trusteth in them. But the true and living God's not like those he saves. Do you know that? The true and living God's not like sinners that he saves. He said in Psalm 51, thou thoughtest I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I'm not. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. Everything on a cattle on a thousand hills belonged to God. He said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't ask you. The one true living God does all the delivering of his people out of the hand of our enemies. He saves his people. His people do not save him or even help him. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from our sin if His people just will give Him a little help. No. His name is Jesus, Savior, for He shall save His people from their sins. End of story. End of story. The true God chose His people before as yet there was any false gods. Look at Isaiah 43:10. Before man ever even created a God, God already chose who He's going to save. Go to Isaiah 43:10. He said, "You're my witnesses, saith the Lord." He's talking to the people that He's called out. He said, "You're my witness, saith the Lord, my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I've declared and have saved. I've showed when there was no strange God among you." Before man ever even created all his idol gods, God said, "I already declared them from the beginning. Therefore, you're my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I'm God. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there's none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" The true God saves His people according to His own covenant promise. He said in 1 Kings 8:23, "Lord God of Israel, there's no God like Thee in heaven above, nor on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with Thy servants that walk before Thee with all their heart." He is the one who keeps His covenant. He doesn't depend on you to fulfill some aspect of His covenant promise. He keeps it. That's why David said, "He's made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure." Because He ordered it in all things. And He made it sure by the precious blood of Christ. That's a good covenant. That's how He keeps covenant with His people. Idols, man's idols, depend on man to help their God to keep His covenant promise. He can't keep it unless you help Him. God makes His people alive and He delivers us. We don't make our God alive and deliver Him. Deuteronomy 32:39, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." You think about what I'm saying here to you now. Christ said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And when it comes to us knowing Him, He said, "You must be born from above. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What do you have to do with being born the first time? Not a thing. You don't have a thing to do with being born again. There's no step-by-step to how to be born again. God does it. That's the true and living God. You show me a God that gives you some step-by-step things to do to be born again, I'll show you a God that's not a God. You show me the God who says, "I'm the one who gives my people life, I quicken my people to life, and I don't need any help," I say that's the true God right there. God's known by the judgment He executes in the earth. That's what the psalmist said. Tell me, find me one of these idol gods anywhere in this world. Here's where the rubber meets the road right here. This is what the gospel's all about. You find me one God anywhere that is a just God and a Savior. Find me a God that talks anything at all about upholding a perfect righteousness so that He is just while at the same time shows mercy to His people and does not do it at the expense of His justice. There's no God like that anywhere in the world. Because men are unrighteous by nature, they can't even imagine a God who's absolutely perfectly righteous, who is just and a Savior. Man can't create that God. No man ever figured out the dilemma on how God could be just and honor His law and kill everybody on this earth that sinned in Adam, and yet at the same time save some of them and show them mercy. No man could figure that dilemma out. Whenever Darius was going to have to cast Daniel into the den, that was the point. That was the picture there. He couldn't figure it out. He thought, "I want to show this man mercy. But if I show him mercy, my law won't be upheld. How can I uphold my law and show Daniel mercy?" And he labored all night long and couldn't figure it out. Finally, he said, "Just throw him in the lion's den. I'm going to uphold my law. Throw him in." And Christ came and saved him. And you know what Christ did later? Christ said, here's how that dilemma solved, Darius. I'm going to go to the cross. God in human flesh. And I'm going to bear His sin. And I'm going to become worthy of death by bearing His sin. And I'm going to go under the sword of God's justice. And God's going to slay me justly. And everybody I'm dying for is going to die when I die. And thereby God's just. And at the same time, everybody I die for is justified of all their sins. So the law has nothing else to say to them. That's how I'm a just God and a Savior. Man never thought of that. Man's never made a... I'll prove it to you. If you're out there seeking idol gods, find me one of them. Find me one of them that mentions anything about what I just said to you. Find me one of them that doesn't. Idol gods are unjust just like the unjust men that make them. There's no righteousness involved. It's not about showing the righteousness of their God. Their God's not righteous because the man that made them's not righteous. You won't find it. That ought to end it for a man. And it will end it if God makes it clear to you in your heart. That'll be the end of the discussion. You realize every God that has nothing to do with righteousness, that doesn't save in a just and right way, is not just and justified. That's not a true God. That's my gospel. That's why God sent His Son. That's the purpose of Christ coming and laying down His life. That's God providing Himself a lamb. That's the only way you can be saved. The Jews today, they're not bringing blood. They don't have a lamb. They've done away with the one thing that God made the whole Old Testament ceremonial law to picture. They've done away with that and kept everything else. The rest of it was just to declare you're guilty and you need that lamb. They took the lamb out, kept all the stuff that declared them guilty, and say that's how they're coming to God by that. That's an idol God. God said, there's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. One that can be just and merciful. There is none beside me. No man ever thought of a God who could do these things. So I want to answer this question. Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Why? Why? Isaiah 45:22. Let me finish. Just read out the rest of that. Isaiah 45:22. Listen to what God says. Now I pray God make us hear this. Look unto me and be ye saved. You see that word, be ye saved? That's in the passive tense. That's like a lame man on a battlefield who looks to the men that show up with the cot and roll him over on the cot. And he lays there helpless without moving a muscle on the cot. And he is saved by them carrying him off the battlefield and carrying him to the hospital. That's being ye saved. You just laid back in the cot, unable to lift a finger, and God doing it all. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I'm God and there is none else. I've sworn by myself, the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. You see, what I've been telling you today gives God all the glory. It says salvation is of the Lord. Gives God all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Men will get together and they'll be singing and whooping and hollering and raising their hands and doing all these things and saying they want God to have all the glory. And you preach this message to them and they say, oh, we don't want that God. You don't really want God to have all the glory. All that hoopla you're doing. I love what Brother Don said that year. Go home and get in your closet and do that. Why do it here in front of everybody? If you want to praise Him like that, go and get in your closet and lift your hands up, hoop and holler. They don't want to do it there. They won't be seen doing it. They won't be glorified. What I'm telling you today is God gets all the glory. If you want Him to have all the glory, you'll rejoice in this God and say, that's the true God. That's the God I've been waiting to hear preached right there. The God that gets all the glory. That's how I want it. That's what heaven's going to be. Heaven's going to be all these people giving Him all the glory. I pray God will bless that message. Amen.